We're talking about a Gemara at the beginning of Nedarim, which in the handout that I gave you is the first source.
Right.
Okay then?
Which source is
here,
that?
Here. I'll give you mine because I love you so much, Arthur. I have it somewhere in a computer, so. Anyway, so the Gemara Nedarim, as we saw last week, I'm just going to review it, says that there's a fundamental difference between Neder and Shvuah. Neder, the Gemara says, Ka'asar Cheftza Nafshe, that he asses an object. So let's say, for example, I have a kikar lechem, I have bread on the table, and I say, this kikar is asar alike bikonam, it should be asar on me in the Neder. Whereas a shvuah is when a person says, Ka'asar Nafshe Achefta, he takes himself and he says that he won't enjoy the benefit of this object. So there the emphasis is on the person, which is called an Iser Gavra, as opposed to a Neder, which is what? An Iser Chafetz. And we had a number of nafkaminas of differences between Nedarim and Shmuz. For example, a Neder is Chal on a Dvar Mitzvah. So if I say, for example, this Sukkah is Osra Alai Ben Neder, I'm not allowed to sit in that Sukkah. If a person takes a Shmuz and he says he won't sit in the Sukkah, then that's called Nishbon Al Mitzvah, and a Shmuz on a Mitzvah is not Chal. Then we had another nafkamina about a dover she'ein bo mamish, which means if a person takes a neder on an action, the neder is not valid, but if he takes a shvuah on an action, that's valid. So if a person says, konam shena, that's not valid. Konam is a neder, and you can't take a neder on shena on sleeping, or halicha, or achila, or any of that. But if on the other hand he takes a shvuah on achila, or shena, or any other action, that Shvuah is Chal. So those are the two major nafkaminas. Then we had a long discussion about Nazirus, and the Mishnah has Nazirus, oddly enough, at the end of the Mishnah, and that seems to indicate that the nature of Nazirus, right, a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. How do you understand the Nazir not drinking wine? And there's going to be a nafkamina. Do we understand that the Nazir converts the Yayin into what? An Iser Chefta, the Yayin becomes a Chefta di Surah for the Nazir, or do we say no, that the Nazir is enjoining himself from the Pu'ula, from the action of what? Of drinking the wine. From the fact that the Mishnah places Nazirus at the end, after Shvuah, so the Mishnah starts with the Nedarim and Haramim, which are both Iser Chefta, and then it goes on to Shvuah and Nazirus, it would seem that Nazirus is an Iser Gavra. Everybody see that? And now comes along the Sukkachov and he says, I'll tell you why Nazirus is an Iser Gavra. An Iser Gavra, as opposed to an Iser Chefta, is a result of the Maila of a person. The Maila means he's on a higher level. And if he's on a higher level, in this case he has Kedushas Nazir, as a result of the Kedushas Nazir in Gavra, he's not allowed to drink wine. But it has nothing to do with the Chefta of the Yayin. And therefore, Nazir is an Iser Gavra. However, there are others who say that Nazir is an Iser Chefta. And they have to answer, of course, why Nazirus appears at the end of the Mishnah. What's the nafkamina between classifying Nazirus as an Iser Gavra as an Iser Chefta? Who remembers? Those who were here last week? Don't all answer at once? Yayin Shel Mitzvah. What happens with Yayin Shel Mitzvah? Rashi Shita is that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to drink wine for Kiddush. All Rishonim disagree with Rashi. But now what happens in the case of a Nazir? Does he drink the wine of Kiddush or does he not drink the wine of Kiddush? If you hold that Nazirus is an Iser Gavra, the Iser Gavra cannot contradict the mitzvah of drinking the wine. Because we said, Ein Nishbon Levatel Es HaMitzvah, the power that's called Mushma V'Yomim Har Sinai. Remember we discussed this. But if on the other hand, if I understand, on the other hand, that Nazirus is only an Iser Chefta, so now he can add an Iser Gavra on top of the Iser Chefta. Okay, that was as far as Nazirus is concerned. What I want to discuss with you today is Shar Isurei Torah. What about Nevelis, Trefis, Shkotzim, V'Ramasim? What would be a knee-jerk reaction? What would be a knee-jerk response to the question whether Nevela or Shkotzim, V'Ramasim is an Iser Gavra, an Iser Chefta? It's an Iser Chefta. The Ritva, at the end of the first parak of Nedarim, writes that all Isurei Torah, with the exception of Nedarim and one other exception which he points out, we'll see in a second, are all Isurei Gavra. And therefore, Shkatzim, Veramasim, Nevelis, and Trefus is an Isur Gavra, not an Isur Heftzim. Comes along the Sukkot Shavuot that we mentioned before, the Avnei Nezer, and he says that the reason why the Ritva holds that all Isurim are Isurei Gavra is because they reflect the Milas HaAdam. In this case, the Milas Yisrael, that a Ben Yisrael was uplifted to a higher level than a guy, and therefore as a result, he's not allowed to eat Nevelis and Shkatzim and so forth and so on, meaning that as a result, the reflection of the higher level of the person, which is called the Isur Gavra. And the Ritva has another case, which he says is... but basically, according to the Ritva, it comes out that any time you see an Isur, you automatically assume, unless you know otherwise, and if only the exception that we know of is Neder, that the Isur is in the Gavra, meaning that the Gavra is on such a high level that he has to remain far away from this Heft. But there's nothing inherently wrong with Shkatzim and Nevelis and Treifus. There's nothing in the Heftza that per se would have generated the Isur. It's only the Milas HaAdam, meaning the Tumas HaAdam, which is a result of engaging and eating Nevelis and Treifus, that is what is the essence of the Isur. That's called an Isur Gavra, and that's the Ritva at the end of the first parak of Nedarim.
What does he do with Tintum HaLev?
Oh! So Daniel asks an excellent question. Let me just ask one more question, then we'll get to Daniel's question. What is the other case which the Ritva recognizes as an Isur Heft besides Nedarim? That's the case of Hegdesh. According to the Ritva, he has to admit that if you have something that has Kedusha to it, and you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of it, let's say for example for Yisrael to eat Truma, or even in certain cases, shlomim, let's say there's certain parts of the shlomim that have to be eaten with Zichrei Kohuna and so forth, and so it's also to Yisrael. In all those cases, the Ritva has to admit that we're dealing with what? An Isur Heftza. Why? Because the definition of an Isur Heftza is that there's something about the object that has changed, and the Isur that results is to be attributed to that change in the object itself. So as far as the Nevelis and Treifus, there's no difference in the object. As far as Hegdish is concerned, by definition, that the reason why I'm not allowed to enjoy the benefits of the Hegdish is because of what? Of the Kedusha HaSachefta. And therefore, that's going to be an Isur Heftza. How does that help the Ritva in the case of the Nedarim? You might remember that we had a machlokas about how a neder works. According to one school of Rishonim, a neder has to work through what? Who remembers? Hatfasa, excellent, John. And hatfasa means I have to have an object in front of me, and I have to be matfis this object. So let's say, for example, I have a kikar shel truma. Here's the kikar shel truma. And I'm a Yisrael, so I'm enjoined from eating the kikar shel truma as a result of the hegdesh, the kedusha. Again, it's not kotshe mizbeah, but kotshe gvulin of the truma. And now I say about this kikar, harei zu kizu. And what I do is I transfer the kedusha. Again, it's like a tmura kind of thing, but the kedusha now applies to this object. So I have a kikar, which is not truma; it's perfectly chulin. And now, as a result of the fact that I transmute the kedusha, so to speak, from the hegdesh over to the kikar. The kikar becomes hegdesh, and in order to prove this point, the Ritva quotes a sugya nedarim, and the sugya nedarim is a mind-boggling sugya. The sugya says yesh me'ila bekonamos. What does that mean? If I declare that this kikar konam olai, konam is a kinui for the word karman, a shortened form or a
nickname.
What do you say?
Nickname.
I can't even.
A nickname,
okay. A code name, that's good. I meant to use a different word. It's called a shibush, a lashon shibush. You remember the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah? An illusion. Okay, that's not what I had in mind. I have another word in mind, but I don't know, maybe you'll take it the wrong way. But in technically, in English, this is a
corruption,
a clean word. It's a bastardization. I mean, that's, again, it doesn't sound like a nice word, but it's in the dictionary, you know. So sometimes you corrupt the word, as Sam said very beautifully, and that's called a kinui. And in the case of a karban, the reason why Chazal wants you to avoid the use of the word harez kikar zuk kikarban is because they're afraid you're going to say karban kikar zuk. Now, what's so bad if you say karban kikar zuk? Then you might be tempted to say karban lashem. And if you say the name of Hashem and then you don't finish it up, it becomes a violation of motzi shem shemayel levad. Bekitzar, Maaseh Chazal created something called konam. And the Gemara says that if you create a konam on a kikar shel lechem, then you violate an iser me'ilah, which means that when the mikdash stands, you have to bring a karba me'ilah. How could it be me'ilah? Just because I took a neder, that doesn't make it into hegdesh. But the answer is that hatfasa works to generate kedusha in an object. So basically, according to the Ritva, when we learn the Parashat Matos of the Nedarim, what we're learning about Kedushas Peh, meaning what we call Afla, the Rambam has a whole book of his 12, 14 books called the Sefer Afla. Afla means that God bestows upon man the capacity to create Hegdish, to take something that is Chol and make it into Hegdish. Through what? Through a verbal declaration. And that's Hatfasa in the Nedarim. Any Neder without Hatfasa is called a Yad L'Nedarim. What's a yad? Again, that's another sugya not for us today, but it means sometimes you use an incomplete language and we fill in the missing word. So again, we have one approach to Isur Cheftelet. To summarize it, it's the most extreme approach, and that's the Ritva's approach. And maybe I should say it the other way around. His approach is the most extreme approach to an Isur Gavra, because basically, according to the Ritva, all Isurim are Isure Gavra. The exception to the rule is neder, insofar as neder is an extension of what? Of hegdesh. So your paradigm of an Isur Cheftz is hegdesh, is kedusha, kedusha sacheifetz, and then a neder becomes sort of like a spin-off or an application of that kedusha sacheifetz. That's according to the Ritva. All the Rishonim disagree with the Ritva. And they all say, like Daniel said, the Gemara says in Chulin, that macholas asuros metamtemos es alev. And we're going to leave out logical positivism for the moment, and we'll talk about metaphysics, if you will, and the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, the famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, that you should not sign up, what word am I looking for, committed child, you know, nebuch a retarded child to a certain institution where they would teach the child in his, you know, when the child is young, it's possible to expand the potential for the child's intelligence level. It's harder when it's older. And the question was, could they commit this child to an institution where they serve nevelos and trefus, non-kosher food that was available in that part of the world in Hungary at that time? And the Chasam Sofer begrudgingly permits it for the sake of the intelligence of the child, but up until the time that he becomes mature. Once he becomes more mature, get him out of the institution, even though it's going to impede his development, because they're feeding him nevelos and trefus, and that's something that's going to have a permanent damage on his nefesh. Now, this leads to a famous question. And one of the contemporary Gedolim who took up this question is Osher Zelig Weiss, about the case of a chola. And we have to feed the chola nevelos and trefus. Do we apply the principle of macholas asurus metamtimos salit? Because it's very interesting. On the one hand, the nevela is nevela, whether you're a chola who's eating it and you have to eat it, or whether you're not a chola. So as far as the metaphysics of the nevela is concerned, if there's some tumor that's inherent in the nevela, then it's metamtim is alev. But on the other hand, paradoxically, you're allowed to eat it, you're even obligated to eat it, if that's what it takes to save your life. So can we say that on the one hand you're fulfilling a mitzvah, at the same time it's metamtim is alev? Fascinating question. And my claim is
the same as the Ritva, isn't it? If you're too holy to eat nevelis. That's matamtam asalev is just a different aspect of too holy. I don't see why.
Oh, okay.
Two different concepts.
I think what he's saying is that the Ritva is saying that it's not really that the that the tumah is inherent. In other words, there's something, again, this is a whole other discussion, not for us now necessarily, but it's called Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lecha. Are you familiar with that phrase? Kedoshim to you, Kadosh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lecha. And what that means is that there's some level of precious. Now, Sam is asking, why would I be Porish from a Nevela? I could be Porish from anything. So that's a question. I don't know how to deal with that question. But what I wanted to suggest, just in terms of this concept of nevela mitamtem es halev, that this might depend on a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivit at the end of Hilchos Brachos, and the case is a chola who has to eat nevela treifa. Now, normally the rule is we don't make a brach on nevela treifa. That has to do with concepts about birech nietz Hashem, which won't go into. But a bracha and the mentioning the name of God on machalos asuras is not appropriate. It's not a good match. And the Rambam says that therefore, if the chol has to eat nevela treifa, he should not make a brach. And the Raivit disagrees, vehemently. Because the Raivit says that he's mitzuvah to eat the nevela treifa to save his life. And in such a case, he should make a brach on it. Perhaps, I'm just throwing out an idea here, and I don't know if my Rebbe would go for this idea, he would probably not go for the idea, but I think you could possibly say that they're arguing about this chakira of Rav Asher Zelig Weiss, whether or not the choleh has a different relationship to this nevela treifa. If we view the nevela treifa as inherently mitame, but that's only if you add the iser element into the equation. So it's A plus B. It's zev zeh gore. If you drop the iser element, and on the contrary, it becomes a mitzvah to eat it, then the tumah somehow is gone. Now, you might ask me, well, how could it be that you have two people in the same room, one's nevachachola and the other's healthy, and they're both eating the same nevela, he's eating the left part in the west and he's eating the south, and one of them is going to suffer from mitamte mesaleh because it's inherent to mitame, the other not. But then you could ask the same question about every neder. How could it be that according to the Ritva, the neder is certainly an isa chefza, and that here the Ritva is moder, and yet, anyone else in the world, except for me, because I took this neder, will not suffer as a result of eating this kikar. So everyone's allowed to eat the kikar, and I'm not. So this concept of the metaphysics of tumah as being relative is something that I think the halacha recognizes. If you assume that mitamtim es halev could apply to one person, not necessarily to another person, you have now a subjective timtum halev. That's a complicated concept. Okay, what happens with Yom HaKippur? On Yom Kippur, I'm not allowed to eat. I'm not allowed to drink. Should we assume that the food is a chefta di isura, or the isura is only in the gavra? If you want to talk in philosophical terms, according to the Sukkot Shavuot, we're all elevated on Yom Kippur to a higher level of Malachi Asharis, and therefore we cannot eat anything. Then it becomes mamish kadish atzmecha b'mutar lecha. So there's nothing inherently wrong or metame in the food. And now we have a machlokas rishonim, which is codified by the Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim, as to whether or not a choleh who has to eat on Yom Kippur recite Kiddush. And Kiddush has to be over wine or over pas, and he's got to drink the wine and eat the pas. And he has to do so because anyway he's a chola. But now we have the Rambam Shita who says that a chola who eats nevela does not make a bracha. So how can you make Kiddush on Yom HaKippur? So Rabbi Kiveya wants to suggest that even according to the Shitas HaRambam, because there's a stira l'chor in Shulchan Aruch, on the one hand he passes like the Rambam, you don't make a bracha on the Velos and Treifas, even in the case of a Chola, but on Yom Kippur, you do make Kiddush. Says Rabbi Kivegan, there's no stira, because as far as Nevelus and Treifus is concerned, that's an Isur Hefta. And when it comes to an Isur Hefta, the Rambam blocks the possibility of making a bracha, even in the case of a chola. But as far as Yom HaKippurim is concerned, that's an Isur Gavra, and therefore he can make Kiddush, even if you accept, according to the Shita Sam Rambam, and that makes Yom Kippur into an Isur Gavra. So that's a fascinating discussion in Rabbi Kivay. I don't know if anyone was here when we spoke about this. There's a fascinating sugya about Dmai. And this is also in Chulin, in the same place, on Daf Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara says that how great was Rav Pinchas ben Yair, that even his chamar didn't eat anything that was asur. So there was a case where they tried to feed the chamar of Pinchas ben Yair dmai, and he refused to eat the dmai. Okay? Now, Harold, you gotta go. You gotta go. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth as to whether or not the chamar actually ate the dmai or didn't eat the dmai. Now let's talk a little bit about dmai. Who can tell me what dmai is? Just a very short, succinct definition of dmai.
Dmai.
Dmai. So what is it? Okay. So what is dmai?
No one knows.
Right. You bought this.
That's why it's called dmai. No one knows.
Right. You bought it from whom? From an amor. So you don't know if he was mafrish. Trubas and Maestras. If he wasn't, right. If he wasn't, then you're dealing with Tevel Doraisa. If he did, then it's Chulin.
Well, don't we assume the most?
So on a Doraisa level, Dmai is Mutter. Dmai is only also Midrabon, because the Doraisa Rov Hamiyoretz Ma'aser and Heim. We could rely on Rov. The Rabbanon suspended the Rov, and they were Choshesh Lamid, and therefore we're not allowed to eat Dmai. Yet, interesting enough, I had this discussion many years ago with Rav Abba Braunspiegel. I don't know if anybody
knows
him. Yeah, he should still sein gesund. He's not so well. But Rav Braunspiegel, I wanted to suggest to Rav Braunspiegel once that Dmai is an Iser Hefta. And believe it or not, he wanted to support my position. So that was very exciting for me. I was in his shir when I was 15 years old. So I'm going back a couple of years. Anyway. Now, let's understand how Dmai operates. Is Dmai what we call Maisa Derabbanan, Tevel Derabbanan? What did Derabbanan say? Did they completely overlook and disqualify the Rov? And they said, we have to be Choshesh for Miut. And therefore, if we're Choshesh for Miut, what's the status of Dmai? It's Tevel. Or no? Derabbanan said, stay away from Dmai. In truth, I can convince you, and the Rabbanan have no problem with this, that Achiram Lahatis and the Rov is Mavar the Sofek, it's not Tevel. But stay away from it. If we go back to the first definition, that the Rabbanan completely ignored the Rov, and what we're left with is Tevel, then except for the, I shouldn't say except, actually, even the Ritva would be on board in this case. So what kind of Issa do we have here, Rabosai? Tevel is clearly an Iser Chefta, according to everybody, even according to the Ritva, because it has Truma Me'urav Zebazet, right? That's what Tevel is. So there's Kedusha in the Chefta. If, on the other hand, I say that,
when
let's...
Truma, Meiser,
the whole bit, from A to Z. So if I say that Rabbanan accepted the Rov, then the assumption is that the Amoris who sold this to me took off Truma, he took off Meiser, took off Truma's Meiser, he took off everything. Everything is Mesukon. But the Rabbanan said, stay away with it. Then what kind of Issa can we have?
Gavra.
An Issa Gavra. So Rav Braunspiegel quoted a Mishnah. I was very impressed. His Mikias is impressive. I mean, he quoted a Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah in Pesachim speaks about matzah shel tevel. And the Mishnah establishes that you cannot be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with matzah shel tevel. However, in the case of Dmai, the Mishnah says that you can be yotze the mitzvah of matzah even though the matzah was made of demai. And the Mishnah goes on to say that the proof of this is because demai is mutal aniyim, and it's also to ashirim. So if Brashbi wanted to tighten up the following, that demai is only an iser gavra. And if it's only an iser gavra, the chefta per se is heter. In the case of tevel do raisa, that's an iser chefta. To take this chefta and use it for a mitzvah, that we can't do. Shall we say a mitzvah is a chovas gavra, which is going to be our next discussion a week from now. And when it comes to a shmua or a chovas gavra, we say that neder is mevatel some mitzvah, because now the gavra is mitzvah with this chefta, but this chefta is a chefta disura, so he can't use the chefta disura for his mitzvah. Therefore, in the case of tevel, I can't use the tevel for my mitzvah of matzah. But if it's only demai, now the Mishnah establishes that I can use this demai for the mitzvah of matzah. It means that the iser is not inherent in the chefta, it's only an iser gavra. And since it's only an iser gavra, and it's only derabanan, and so forth and so on, you can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. There's nothing inherently forbidden or repulsive, so to speak, about the chefta shel tevel. And the proof of it is that if it was in the chefta, it should be also to everyone, both to aniyim and to ashirim. El rabbanan ikilu b'dmai, and they were matir d'mai for aniyim, right? Whatever the definition of an ani is, let's say it's less than masayim zuz, whatever it might be, and he's allowed to eat d'mai. If he's allowed to eat d'mai, how can we allow him to eat d'mai? It's an isa chefta. If it's an isa chefta for an ashir, it should be an isa chefta for a. For Ani as well. The answer is the Rabbanan created Nisar Gavra. Which Gavra? The Gavra of the Asher, but not the Gavra of the Ani. And in that sense, he wanted to suggest that when the Rabbanan prohibited Demai, what they did was they said that, you know what, stay away from Demai. But inherently, they were Mekil in Demai. What does it mean, Chachomim Ikilu B'Demai? It means they left it as what? As an Issa Gavra, without imposing upon it the status of an Issa Chefta. So that's the kula that the Rabbanan instituted in Dubai. So Rabbosai, Sam, you're up. All right, right, just want to finish the sentence. That you'll see all over Shas, Rabbanan Hikilu B'dmai. On a simple level, superficially, Rabbanan Hikilu B'dmai. It's, you know, it is what it is, and it says what it says. But now we're saying it's much more profound than that. And instead of extending the status of the Chefta that on a deraisa level applies to Tevel, they left the status of Chulin as far as the Chefta is concerned, and therefore the Chefta itself is a Chefta dehetero, and they only asked for the Gavra.
I have a question about your differential criterion for something in Isra Chefta, that then it has to be Asr on everybody. So let's say Truma.
Right?
So
right. Yeah, Truma is mutter to a kohen, or for that matter, neder is mutter to everyone else. But again, in derabbanans, I think you could say that if the derabbanan created Issa Chefta, it should be asr to everyone. Meaning, in the case of Hegdesh, so you have sometimes Hegdesh is asr, and sometimes it's a mitzvah to eat to Hegdesh. Or in the case of a neder, that's a personal Issa that you've created on the Chefta that's subjective.
Again, neder doesn't bother me, Truma bothers me.
Right. So Truma on the one hand could be an Iser, and Truma on the other hand could be a mitzvah. The Torah could say that Truma has to be consumed in one way, and if you consume it in a different way, then you violate and desecrate the Kedushas HaTruma. So if Yisrael eats the Truma, he has desecrated the Kedushas HaTruma. If he feeds the Truma to an animal, and the Truma is Royal Achilles Adam, then he's desecrated the Kedusha inherent in the Chefta Shel Truma. But if on the other hand he's a Kohen, that's exactly what the Torah designates the mitzvah of Kedushas Truma, that it should be consumed by a Kohen. So again, if you're working with the metaphysics of Metamte Mesalev, and you want to know, next time you try to feed the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair, whether he'll eat it or not, the answer is it depends whether it's an Issa Chefta or an Issa Gavra. So if it's Tevel Doraisa, then it's an Issa Chefta, and therefore you can't fool the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair. But if on the other hand, Demai Yikilu Beichachonim, and Demai is only an Issa Gavra, then the Chamor will be fooled and he'll eat the Issa Gavra, because he's not included in the Issa. He's not a Mitzvah B'dor. We have a principle, Rabosa, you're familiar with this, a sugya in Ksubis, called Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah. Which means that, let's say, for example, Reuven shechts an animal. And for whatever reason, Reuven the Shochet decides that he wants to be machmir, and let's say he wants to be choshesh for a shita and hagrava and some sort of psul shchita, and he doesn't want to eat that piece of meat. So what's the din? Everyone in the world, except for the shochet, is allowed to eat this meat. But as far as the shochet is concerned, shavya nafshei chaticha disu. He wants to be machmir and consider it nevela, and therefore he accepts in part himself an Iser Nevel. So before I mention the famous Ktsos HaChoshen, who declares exactly how this works, Shavya Nafshei, let's just mention the following. There's a gigantic machlokas between the Ra'ah, Rabbi Aaron HaLevi, one of the Rishonim, and the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, as to whether Shavya Nafshei Chaticha V'Isura applies to an Iser Derabbanan. Are you with me, Rabosai?
Yes.
So if I take upon myself, I point to this piece of meat and I say it's nevela, then kuliyamalo pligi shavya nafshi chaticha disura. But if I point to this object and I say it's true asirakos, which is only drabanan, then we're going to get into a minefield here, a major controversy, Bolinetta will see it inside, about whether or not shavya nafshi applies to an Easter drabanan. Now, just a little bit of an autobiography here. When I was 19 years old, I learned in a yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud. And the Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Beryl Schwarzman. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was a guy in Olam. I mean, an absolute genius. And I'll never forget, he used to give us a shir klali once a week. I was in a different shir. My Rebbe was Rav Moshe Shapiro, where I learned for a few years. But I used to attend, as everyone in the yeshiva did, the shir klali of Rav Dov Schwarzman. And I'll never forget, I'm just reminiscing, I hope you'll forgive me for this, my father, Zichron Levracha, came to visit the yeshiva, and punkt, at that time, Rabbi Beryl was giving a shir klali. So my father sat in for the shir klali, and at the end of the shir klali, he comes running over to Rabbi Beryl, and he starts yelling and screaming in Yiddish. The shir was in Ivrit, but my father didn't speak Hebrew that well. He understood Hebrew perfectly, so he decided that he knew Reb Beryl knew Yiddish. The whole yeshiva is standing around, 150 guys, and Reb Beryl and my father are at each other's necks in Yiddish. I mean, it was really quite a scene. Anyway, so Reb Beryl Schwarzman, in one of the shiurim, I remember I wrote notes, he asks the following question. If there's a din of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura, why shouldn't it apply, according to the Ra'ah, with regard to Isurin Derabbanan? Maishno, what's the difference between an Isur Doraisa and an Isur Derabbanan? Zeh Asur v'zeh Asur. Zeh Asur v'doraisa, zeh Asur v'derabbanan. If this applies Shavya Nafshei, why shouldn't this apply Shavya Nafshei? Why should Shavya Nafshei apply here? So I remember a Beryl quoted a Nesivus. The Nesivus lived, what, about less than two centuries ago. His name is Rav Yaakov Milisa. And the Nesivus says the following. That there's a law of shogeg. A shogeg, in general, is chayav kapara. Right? Because a shogeg always entails an element of what? Of pshi of negligence. And therefore he needs kapara. In the case of a chiv kares, for example, let's say a man violates Shabbos b'shogeg, he has to bring what? He has to bring a chatas. Now, how many malachas did he violate, and how many chatos does he have to bring? For that, you have to come to my shir at 11:45. Hint, hint, hint. But in any event, that's called a chiv chatas. The Nesivus says the following: a mind-boggling breakthrough chiddush that a shogeg on an Isur Derabbanan does not require kapara. So, Rabosai, if a man eats chametz derabbanan on Pesach, according to the Nesivus, right, chametz nuksha can, according to those who say it's derabbanan, he does not require kapara. He goes on with his life. He doesn't have to clap al chet.
Does he give a reason?
Oh. Says the Nesivus, why? What's the difference? He says, because mitzvah lishmoa b'divrei chachamim. And this guy accepts upon himself the mitzvah lishmoa b'divrei chachamim. He was a shogeg, but he did not rebel against the authority of the chachamim. And if he didn't rebel against the authority of the Chachamim, Garnish Kitrav, nothing happened over here. He didn't do anything. Do you hear this mind-boggling chiddush? The man eats Nevela Durabbanan. There are many cases of Nevela Durabbanan. And the Nesivus says he did it b'shogeg, and Dachnish Tobin Shum Kapar. Why? Because he's not rebelling against the Chachamim. You violated an Issa Durabbanan. It says, V'asisa kechol she yerucha, and he didn't violate that Issa.
That logic then. So even Doraisa shouldn't make any difference.
If it's Issa God.
But in the case of a Doraisa, this is what Rebel Schwarzen wanted to say. Why does the deceiver say that in a Doraisa I need kapara, I wasn't rebelling against God? The answer is I need kapara for the avera of eating something that is usur. And that itself is a reality that you can't deny. But in the case of a Rabbanan, so again, you would have said that what? Even in the case of the Rabbanan, the reality is that he ate something that's asur. Albeit the Rabbanan, nay. He didn't eat anything that's asur. It's only an Issa Gavra. Comes along with Beryl and he says, now I understand the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says that there's no Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura on an Issa Rabbanan. Because an Issa Rabbanan, according to the Nesivis, is only an Issa Gavra. And Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura only applies to a Cheftzadi Surah. And to prove his point, he quoted the Ketzos. Remember, I mentioned to you that there's a Ketzos in Siman Lamed Dalet. The Ketzos quotes the Mari Besson, and the Mari Besson says that what's the Yisod of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah? How can a person say it's mutter for everybody else, but for me it's Asur? Why is that meaningful? And the answer is, it's Midin Neder. Says Rebel Schwarzen, and according to Mari Besson, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah is kishmo kenu, kimashmo saloshon, it's in the chefta of the chaticha. He converts the chaticha into a chaticha nisura. Who gives you misamcha? Who gives you the right, the ability to create from a chefta that day into a chefta nisura? What's the answer? The parsha nidorim. That's exactly what the Torah is mechadish in parshas matis. Is memela chashav yanash chaticha nisura. When he accepts upon himself an Issa Nevela. So that's an Issa Doraisa. The Issa Nevela is a Chefta. He determines that this Chefta, that Tera is Nevela, and that he can do. But in the case of an Issa Durabbanan, which is only an Issa Gavra, the Chefta per se is a Chefta that Tera. The whole mechanics of Shavya Nafshe, Chaticha, Nisura doesn't work. So I'm both saying, let's just understand two Nafkaminas now between the Doraisa and the Durabbanan. I want to add a third of my own. The first Nafkamina is going to be the Nesivis. That the Nesivis says, you don't need a kapara in the case of what? A shogeg on an Issa Drabana, because the whole Issa is on the Gavra. And what's the Issa on the Gavra? Because the Torah says, Mikol Sheirucha, you know, Yamin Val Smol, but he wasn't rebelling against the Chacham, he wasn't even aware of the Issa. Mashen came in the Doraisa, he needs kapara because he ate the Chefzi Bisura, and that he needs kapara for.
Even if it's on the Issa Gavra.
No, I don't know about an Issa Gavra. I'm just saying, you know, how the Ritva is going to fit into this. But I'm talking about an Issa Hefta. An Issa Gavra
still would need a kapara.
It depends. Well, what's the nature of the Issa Gavra? If we're defining the Issa Gavra as Mushba V'Yomid Me'Arsina, you took upon yourself at Arsina, Yeshvua, to fulfill the will of God. I want to fulfill the God. I'm interested in fulfilling God's Ratzon. What did I know? I was unintentional. I had no awareness of the Issa. In that case, you don't need a kapara. What would be, according to Abdul Schwarzer, this question I wasn't able to ask him. He's gone already. What would be on Yom HaKippurim? Rabbi Kivega says that on Yom Kippur, the nature of the Issa is what? Is an Issa Gavra. What would be in the case of a shogeg on Yom HaKippurim? On the one hand, it's an Issa Doraisa. On the other hand, it's an Issa Gavra. So if we had an Issa Gavra, which is Doraisa, I think that's more or less, Sam, what you're asking. What would be if he was a shogeg? But again, let's just get it. Okay, it doesn't matter. But the second Afkamina is also very important. Not only is the issue whether you have to have a kapara for a violation of an Issa Drabbanan b'shogeg, but in addition, we have an Afkamina regarding the principle of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disur. Does Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disur apply to an Issa Drabbanan, or does it not? If it's a din in the Chefta, for example, the Vela Doraisa, that's Shavya Nafshi. But if it's a din in the Chefta, only the Rabbanon never asked in the Chefta. Oh, if this be the case, for both, I want to add a third Nafkin. It's a Sugyim Psachim on Daf Zion about Hamakadesh Esaisha. On Erev Pesach b'chametz. So the man gives a woman a piece of bread, you know, a loaf of bread, and let's assume in a perfect day it's 11. It's 11 a.m. Now chametz becomes osur midaraisa at 12 noon. It becomes osur derabbanan at 11. Okay, we'll Just bear with me for a moment. There are a couple of details here that have to be ironed out, but just to get it begadol, as we say. So what's the deal if he's Makadish and Isha with Chametz on Erev Pesach b'shad d'rabbanan? And the Gemara says, Eino mekudeshes. The Kiddushin are invalid. Now, the Mishnah in Psachim on Daf Yud Aleph says that already in the fifth hour chametz is osur. Why? That's called Chayshin Eliyom HaMa'unon. You know, back in the day they didn't have clocks the way we have it, and you could make a toast of up to 2 hours. This has to do with the Sugyan Sanhedrin about Edus, whether it's Hakosh and two Edim if there was a discrepancy of 2 hours. And the Gemara says that up to 2 hours you can make a mistake. You know, it's not clear always where the sun is. Again, if the mistake is between 11 and 1, that could be something different because the sun is in the zenith. But even so, on a cloudy day, you might not be able to see the sun. So the Gemara says that midrabbanan, they added an extra hour, the fifth hour. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah that if he's Makadishar in the sixth hour at 11 a.m., Eino Mekudeshes. And the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, my Rebbe's uncle, he's medayik from the Rambam that if it would have been in the fifth hour, then even though chametz is osur midrabbanan in the fifth hour, nevertheless the kedusha would be valid. And the Brisker Rav asks the following question: My high, my shno, what difference it make if you're telling me that chametz midrabbanan is mafkir the kedusha? Then what difference it make whether it's the sixth hour or the fifth hour? So in order to answer this question, he quotes a Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Pesachim, and the Mishnah there tells us that there are fundamental differences between the fifth hour and the sixth hour. And he says the following, and the Mishnah says the following: Chametz in the fifth hour is not osur b'hanah, it's only osur b'achila. Chametz in the sixth hour, midrabbanan again, is osur even b'hanah. And the Gemara and the Mishnah establishes another nafkamina with regard to what's called rikike nazir, which is a carbon that the nazir brings when he terminates his nazirus. And then there's a carbon todo, which has to be brought 40 lachmei todo and so forth if a person was saved from it. And there the Mishnah says that he could be yotze these mitzvahs in the Migdash in the fifth hour, but not in the sixth hour. Then the Mishnah makes a distinction if, let's say, you have what's called Lechem Shel Truma, and Lechem Shel Truma, if it becomes Yisuri Anah, you have to burn it. And the Mishnah establishes that once the Lechem reaches the sixth hour, then you have in Sreifa, even though it's Truma. But in the fifth hour, Tolin, which means we don't burn it, we don't eat it, it's in this limbo state, right, suspended. Says the Brisker Rav, a fascinating Kiddush. And it's generated a whole literature, both pro and con. He says there's a fundamental difference between how the Chachamim asked Chametz in the sixth hour and how they asked it in the fifth hour. And he wants to suggest that the Hafkas Kiddushin in Chametz is based on the Isur Cheftza. You cannot be Mekadish and Isur in Isha with a Cheftza Disur. And he proves it from a sugya mesechta kiddushin. The Gemara says that according to Rav Shimon, if you're makadish and isha with chulin shenishkatu bazara, then ain't a makudesh. It's a chefta disur. You can't use a chefta disur and give it to a woman and be makadish and isha with a chefta disur. The Rabbanan took the sixth hour, they took the seventh hour, let's say, when chometz is doraisa, and they extended it to the sixth hour. And they said that the sixth hour has the same din as the seventh hour. That means midrabanan chametz is a heftah d'isur, it has a shame chametz in the sixth hour. And that has tremendous implications because it means hafkas kedushin, that he cannot be mekadesh in the sixth hour. But in the case of the fifth hour, they only said isagavra, stay away from the chametz. But the chametz inherently is not a heftah d'isur. And I was thinking that there might be another nafkamina according to the Brisker Rav. What would be if a person would take upon himself, he would take upon himself chametz as a shavya nafshi chaticha disur. Let's say it was the chametz was bought up a rov, okay, in the taromas, and he would say, no, I'm not going to rely on rov. So if it was in the sixth hour, according to Rebbe Schwarzman, then we could say Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura, because here's a drabbana which is Chefta Disura. Again, we have to square this with the Nesivus, who says that there's no Shogek in the Issa Drabbana. But the Issa Drabbana of Chametz becomes a Chefta Disura of Chametz. There might be another Nafkamina as far as Bliya. Let's say you cook in a pot in the fifth hour, and it's got Chametz Bolua, or you cook in a pot in the sixth hour. What's the status of chametz? Is it what's called hetera bola or isura bola? Major machlokas. Let's say if we go according to the Ramban Shita that chametz is isura bola, because the same chametz that was nivla is going to be the chametz that's asur, and therefore it's very hard to be mavatel a blias isur. It depends. In the sixth hour, it's definitely according to the Ramban Shita in chametz going to be isura bola, because chametz is a cheftah d'isur already midrabanan in the sixth hour. But in the fifth hour, according to the Brisker Rav, then it's only an isur gavra. Then, as far as the cheftah shel chametz is concerned, it's a tera, and therefore would be a tera bala. And this opens up a whole new vista as to far as chametz is concerned. The Rambam says that if you eat a chatzi zayis of chametz, then you violate an isur Torah. So everybody says, why did the Rambam have to tell me that? I think it's in Perek Vav Milchus Chametz Matzah. Why did the Rambam have to bother telling me? The Rambam paskins like Rav Yochanan. What's Rav Yochanan sheet at the end of? Chatzis Shir Asim at Torah. So what's that, Mr. Rambam has to tell me that a Chatzis Shir of Chametz is Asim at Torah? So the answer might be the following. That Chametz, in a certain sense, is like Yom Kippur. What's the similarity between Yom Kippur and Chametz? If I argue, like Rabbi Kivega says, that Yom Kippur is only an Issa Gavra, like Nazirus in the case of Yayin, according to the simple pshat, that's the Rosh at the beginning of Nedarim, then why would I come to the conclusion, perhaps, that Hu Adin Chametz, that Chametz is only an Issa Gavra? Well, again, does anybody see what I'm driving at? Is there a similarity here between Chametz and Yom Kippur? I mean, offhand, it sounds like I'm off my rocker. I mean, what's the connection between chametz and Yom Kippur? But what's common to both of them?
Kares,
excellent. But again, I don't know if that would lead me to establish chametz as an Issa Gavra. I don't know. Maybe the Chumras HaChametz would be in the Cheftza. But what else is common to both? Right? It's what day are we up to? We're in the 9th of Cheshvan. What day are we up to? Am I allowed to eat chametz today?
Sure.
Am I allowed to drink anything today? It's a Yom Kippur. It's not Yom Kippur today, right? So what's common to both Chametz and Yom Kippur? The whole year round, what's Machayev? What's Oser? The Oser that generates Isur is mine. Oh, how can you tell me that this thing is Oser today and Mutter tomorrow? Or Mutter today and Oser tomorrow? So one could ostensibly argue that that's called an Isur Gavra, which means that every Isur Atoli Bizman is an Isur Gavra, not an Isur Cheftza. If that be the case, Yom Kippur becomes our paradigm for an Isur HaToli Bizman. And it's an Isur Gavra, not an Isur Cheftza, according to Rabbi Kivega. One could argue that maybe Chametz is an Isur Gavra. And therefore, the Rambam needs a special pasuk. He has the Yalfusa. It says, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu L'Rabos Chatzishir. An Aleph Frek Bekasha, everybody jumps on the Rambam. Why did you have to quote me the pasuk Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu to establish that Chatzishir Chometz is Asur? I know it from the din of Chatzis Shira Asamira Torah. The answer is Chatzis Shira Asamira Torah. That's only the Isur Hefta. And if the Isur Hefta applies to a Kezias, the Isur Hefta applies even to a Chatzis. And that's Rabbi Yochanan, who says Chazilut Starufe. You know, you have, it doesn't order. You know, when you hit, you know, let's say I start counting out my molecules, right, my little parcels, and all of a sudden I get to a kezias, boom, it becomes osur. Well, what happened until I got to the kezias? Name, the whole kezias and every morsel therein was a chefzidi surah. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Chatzis Shira Asur Min HaTorah. There's a special din of chashivas, as far as onshim is concerned, that you don't punish him unless he does a maisa chashiv and he eats a whole kezias. But if every Isur is an Isur Hefta, and again, we're going against the Ritva, keep that in mind, but like all the Rishonim who argue with the Ritva, that machalas asuros in general is an Isur Hefta, comes on Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Chatzis Shira Asur Min HaTorah. Then even a half is a chefta of Isur, it's a chefta of Nevela, a chefta of Chalev, and so forth and so on. But when it comes to an Isur Zman, here I would say it's an Isur Gavra. And if it's an Isur Gavra, then I can't apply the logic of Rabbi Yochanan of Chazitz Tarufe, and therefore the Rambam says that in the case of Chametz, I don't know that Chatzis Shira Asur Min HaTorah applies. I need a special Gzeres HaKos of the Alfus of Kol Machmetzes to derive and establish that Chatzis Shira is Asur Min HaTorah even in Chametz.
There's a problem with the comparison of Chametz to Yom Kippur, Zman.
So that's Machlokas Tanoim. I forget the names. I think it's Rav Shimon and Chachamim. I believe that we passed that Chomet Shavu LePesach is only Drabban. It's a Knas. There is a Tana. So Daniel's right. I think it's Rav Shimon who says that Chomet Shavu LePesach, he has three Lavim. No, Rav Yehuda. Right? He has, at the beginning of the second parak, he has three Lavim of Chomet. One for Kodem Zmano, one for Tom Zmano, one Liachar Zmano. So Daniel's pointing out that if I hold that Chomet Liachar Zmano is awesome. But again, you know, you still, Daniel, is a little bit of a question. I'll tell you why. Because today, this same kikar that I'm looking at, which is Chometz Gomer, is Mutter Gomer. And tomorrow, meaning on Pesach, it becomes Osir. So there is a Zman element. Now you're right that once the Zman element kicks in, then it continues even afterwards. So I don't know, you know, you're in the twilight zone here. Is that an Isur Hefta or an Isur Gavra?
How does Nosar fit into it?
Oh, Nosar would certainly be an Isur Hefta like all Isurim, again, leaving out the Ritva. Why? Because again, once you leave it over, the chefta becomes a chefta di sura. And therefore, if I gave a woman nosar, and I said, Tareat mekudesh sleep in nosar zeh, ain't a mekudesh, ain't choshe lekedushin. Now here, I want to just mention, Daniel is gonna remember this from our good old days here in this room, mukta. What's the status of mukta? Is mukta an isa chefta or is it an isa kav? The machlokas rishonim whether mukta is osur ba'noah, whether rabbanon only asked it ba'achila. You know, if it's only osur ba'achila, I'm tempted to think it might not be an iser chefta, because if the chefta is a chefta disura, it should be osur ba'noah as well. But the bottom line is, what happens if a man is mekadesh an isha with mukta? Now, what happens to mukta after Shabbos? So mukta is a classical case of a dovish yeshlo matirin. And mukta is also a classical case of an isur toli bizman. And therefore, one could argue that mukta is only an isur gavran, it's not an isur cheft. And now we get to the discussion that I wanted to share with you today, a sugi in Yuma. We gave out the daf in Yuma, did we not? Ayin Zayin, it's on the back of this page, you know, the page about Yom Kippur.
Okay,
ready to get this?
But I ask you, says he's not more than on.
Oh, not on Sunday. No, that was on Monday. So if you don't mind taking a picture of it.
Could I ask you something before you get to
the sure,
picture?
Sure.
That is back on Dvai. When you say that the Chazal were Mako on Dvai, are you saying, Which of the two things? Did they make a Isur of Dmai, and then they were Mako for if you're Ani? Or the original Gzeirah was never made on Aniyim.
I hear. So if you say the Gzeirah was never made on Aniyim, then you could say it's an Isur Gavra. But
right.
If the Isur applies to Aniyim, but then they were Matirid for Aniyim,
that's right.
Then you could say it's an Isur Chefta with a Het for right, the Aniyim. Okay. Excellent.
Okay.
Beautiful.
The other like thing I just wanted to point out is that Mekadesh Isha, the Bishash Shishi before Pesach, Why do you have to say that it's Erev Kodesh because it's a Dabra Aser? Because in the Shah Shisha already, it's like the same did as afterwards on Pesach.
On Shoshvi.
And they were Ma'akir, the Bailus on it altogether. So you can't be Kaddish because it's
that's an interesting question. You could argue, and I forget if it's a Ktsos or somebody says this point, that the difference between Shah Hamishis and Shah Shishis is whether or not it's Osir Hanor.
Yeah, Hamishis, I didn't ask.
Hamishis, I meant to say. Yeah. So in Shah Hamishis, there's no Isir Hanor, so if I gave her a Shava Pruta because it has benefit for her, she could feed her dog. But if I gave it to her in the sixth hour, when it's Osir Hanor, then Paka Shav Yuso, and therefore I don't give her an object of value. But there are a lot of riots, and maybe we'll get to that tomorrow, Blineder, as to that the fact that Hafkas Kiddushin has nothing to do with Dini Mabinus. Again, the Ktos learns it like that, but I think there are other riots, which I don't have right now. Also, I wanted to get to Truma, and that it's a din in the Hefta, that the Hefta has a shame chavitz or a shame iser that's inherent in the Hefta. So what do we have here in Masechta Yum? The Gemara on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis establishes a principle called Sicha Kishtia, which means that just like the Torah prohibited Shtia on Yom Kippur, the Torah prohibited Sicha as well. And the Gemara derives this from Psukim. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that anything derived from Psukim is D'oraisa. Others say that it's Midivrei Kabbalah, which is a kind of quasi-something that is suspended in midair between D'oraisa and D'rabbanan. It's certainly more Chomer than a D'rabbanan, but it's not as Chomer as a D'oraisa. Okay. Now, within the context of this issue, as to whether Sicha Kishtia on Yom Kippur is an Isa D'Rabbanan or an Isa D'Oraisa, we have the Raya of Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosis is printed accidentally on Daf Ayin Zayin. It really belongs, as you'll see in the note here in the Gemaras, belongs on Ayin Vav Amid Beis. And in this Tosis, Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm going to prove to you from a Sugya in Krisus that Sicha Kishtia is only D'Rabbanan. And he says the following. He says, first of all, before he quotes the Gemara in Krisus, and this is an interesting subject that I discussed here on Leil Yom HaKippurim, he says that all the Inuyim, other than Achila and Shti, are all Drabbanan, the whole kit and caboodle. And that he says, is obvious, because the Gemara says, Hayu Meluchach Betit Ubitzor Rochetz Kedarka, that he's allowed in many situations to violate what would normally be an Isur Inui. Rechitza becomes Mutter. Or, for example, Mishiyesh Lo Chatotim Berosho, Soch Kidarka, V'yeno Choshesh. You have the case of a Kala, you have the case of a Chaya, and there are many Heterim. He says these only make sense if you assume that the Inuyim, the Shari Inuyim, other than Achil Shti, are only Drabon. But now he has a very interesting proof. Ubimesechta Krisus Peperikama Amrinon Kohen Shesach Shemen Shel Truma. So the din of mitzvah of Nitan in Truma, in the case of Sicha, let's say for example you have Shemen Shel Truma, which is not royal Ishtia, so you don't eat it, you don't swallow it, but rather you use it for Sicha.
Why couldn't you use it for salad?
I guess it's a kind of inedible shemen. So the din is the following. So the Kohen takes the shemen shel truma, and he sach. Then the sugya establishes that he can invite his grandson, Ben Bito Yisrael. Now it means that his son-in-law is a Yisrael, and therefore his grandson through his daughter is Yisrael, and it says that he can invite his grandson umis agilbo means v'yenem choshesh. She's allowed to rub his arm, meaning the grandson's arm, he's a czar, against the arm of the grandfather who's a Kohen, right? There's still Shemin that is you know, the skin,
the surface.
The surface is still oily. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the I havi da'oraisa haya asur b'chol inyan. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's truma, and he hasn't completed, you know, the sicha. How can he allow the ben bito l'sagelbo? Ella, he says, you prove from this that sicha kishtir midrabbanon, and therefore they were matir the rabbanon for the sake of ben bito. So my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, asked the following question. If anybody wants to see this, I wrote it up. I heard it in Baal Peh, and I don't know if it's written up anywhere else, but certainly you can ask me for a photocopy. Here was the Rav's question. He says that if you open up the Rambam, you will see clearly in Hilchus Trumos, Perek Vav, and Perek Yud, both Halacha Aleph, so the introduction to Perek Vav and Perek Yud, the Rambam clearly says that there's an Iser of Truma Lizar that splits into two. And that is, number one, the pasuk that says in Vayikra Chav Beis, V'chol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, that a Zar is enjoined from eating Truma in this case. And then in the same parsha it says V'lo Yechalalu Es Kodshei Bnei Yisrael. So again, the first Isur is Chol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, and the second Isur is Lo Yechalal Es Kodshei Bnei Yisrael. And the Rav said that there's a fundamental difference between these two Isurim. The first Isur is an Isur Achila, and the second Isur is an Isur Chilul HaKodesh. Kri, Rabbi Osai, what is he saying? The first Isur is what kind of an Isur? An Isur Gavra, the Maisa Achila. And the second is an Isur Kedusha and Hafka and Bittul or Chilul HaKedusha. That's an Isur in the Cheft to the Truma. And I wrote myself a note here that if you want to see this B'yeter Biur, you should take a look at the Chidushei HaGriz on the Rambam. At the end of the Chidushei HaGriz, there's an appendix. And in that appendix, they publish letters to the Brisker Rav. But the only thing is, they leave out the letter, the name of the person who wrote the letter. And almost all those letters were written by my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, to his uncle. Okay, I won't get into the politics of it. But anyway, so if you look on page 156 in the Brisker Rav, we'll be able to print it out. The Rav develops this idea, and the Brisker Rav is very excited about it. Says the Rav, I don't understand how Rabbeinu Tam could possibly say that the Iser Sicha, B'Shemen Shel Truma Lazar, is only Durabbanon. It can't be. When a zar is sach b'tshemen shel truma, he violates the isur d'oraisa of lo yechalu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael. It's a chilul of kedushas hatruma, because the kedusha truma means that the sich is only for a kohen, but not for a zar. How could the Rabbeinu Tam have the audacity of saying that Sicha Keshtia is only Durabbanan in Truma? Sicha Keshtia is a violation of the Isa Doraisa of Lo Yechalalu Es Kodshei B'nei Yisrael? Says the Rav, there are two different Isurim under Sicha Keshtia. One is the Isur Gavra, the Maisa Sicha, as an extension of the Isur Achila, where the Torah says Kol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, and now we're saying that Sicha is Kishtia, so it comes under the law of Lo Yochal Kodesh. And there's another Isur in the Hefta under the din of Lo Yochal Es Kodesh B'nei Yisrael. Rabbeinu Tam certainly admits that as far as Sicha Kishtia in Chilul Kodesh as an Isa Cheftz in the Cheftz Shel Truma, that's for sure Doraisa. So Lo Yechal is Kodesh Bnei Yisrael. What Reb Chaim wants to say is that in the Isa Gavra of Lo Yochal Ki Kodesh Hu, that's the Rabbanan Sicha Kishtiyah. Sicha Kishtiyah is a Maisa Shtiyah is only the Rabbanan. And the Nafkamin is going to be now in Ben Bito Misagalba, because once the Kohen used the Truma for what? For Sikha. He was Mafkia the Isa Cheftz of Lo Yechal as Kodesh Bnei Yisrael, because as far as the Cheftz is concerned, the Kedusha element that engenders an Isa Zoros was removed. And now what we're left with is the Isa Sikha as a Maisa Sikha. Says Rabbeinu Tam, they were Makil, the Rabbanu were Makil on the Maisa Sikha for the benefit of the Ben Bito Yisrael. Why? Because Sikha Kishtiyah as a Maisa Sikha is only the Rabbanon. So it comes out like this, that there are two Isurim in Sikha of a Zar in Shemen Shel Truma. One is in the Cheftz, that's called Lo Yechalel, and the other is in the Gavra Midin Achila, because Sikha is Kishtiyah. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, whereas the first din in the Cheftz, namely not to be mechal the zar by eating or drinking or doing sicha with the shemen, that's a din do rice, that's an iser of lo yechalel. The second iser of sicha that's elevated or defined as a maisa shtia, that's in the gavra, that's only derabbanan. And since it's only through Rabbanan we can be makil, as long as there's no Iser of Chilul Kedushas HaTruma, when do we alleviate, when you remove the Iser Chilul Kedushas HaTruma? That's when the Kohen himself does the Sicha. Once the Kohen does the Sicha, we can alleviate that. What we're left with is an entity of Truma. Regarding that entity of Truma, there's an Iser Maisa Sicha. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the Iser Maisa Sicha as an Iser Gavra is only through Rabbanan, because Sicha Kishtiyah is only the Rabbanan. Beautiful shtickel tar. If you get a chance, I'd love you to see it inside. Okay, Rabosai, what time is it now? Oh, so we'll stop here for Mincha. Again, thanks to everybody for coming, and I hope we'll be able to maybe complete this perek tomorrow and then go on to mitzvahs and see if the mitzvah is in the Chefta or the mitzvah is in the Gavra. Okay, then? Yeah.